Welcome to Terror at Collinwood. I look forward to getting to today's show about the great Nick D, and this episode features a star-studded lineup of guests. Before we get to the show, I want to let you know that we did record this a few weeks ago, so the information about the pre-order for the great Nick D Blu-ray was not available at that time, but it is now. It is currently available for pre-order over on Amazon. I will put a link in the show notes. It is just delightful. Head on over to Amazon and pre-order your Blu-ray copy of The Great Nick D. I also want to thank Ansel Farage for doing the editing on this episode. If you check out the video version on YouTube, Ansel added all kinds of great pictures, footage, wonderful things to look at. So check out the YouTube version of this episode if you get a chance. And without further ado, let's get to tonight's episode of Terror at Collinwood.
I always thought you were good. What happened?
When life starts getting you down, stop chilling on the beach, stop messing around. You gotta get back to those dreams you had a long time ago. It's time to roll on, so get up and go.
Are you Nick Dick?
I still don't see him wearing spandex.
Welcome to Terror at Collinwood. I am your hostess, Danielle, aka Penny Dreadful, and oh my goodness, we're going to talk about the sensation that's going to sweep the nation. It is The Great Nick D, the new independent film. It's amazing. The Great Nick D is a sweet-natured tale of redemption that follows a washed-up 90s porn star, now a Venice Beach nobody, who gets a second chance to restart his mainstream acting career in order to win back the Oscar-nominated actress girlfriend from his past. Returning to Terror at Collinwood to discuss this exciting new motion picture are its co-director and co-writer, Ansel Farage, its co-star, co-writer, and co-director, Nathan Wilson, who plays Nicholas Hatton, a.k.a. Nick Dick. And celebrated writers, actors, and Dark Shadows legends, Catherine Lee Scott and David Selby, who play Helen Zimmerman and Jim Hatton, respectively, and a newcomer to the podcast, but certainly a very familiar face to fans of film, television, and theater. You saw her in films like Edward Scissorhands, Mars Attacks, and many more. She is actress, composer, and theater producer Olan Jones, who plays Phyllis in The Great Nick D. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hey. Hi.
It's great to have you all here. David, I had you here back in December, and Catherine, we just chatted just a few weeks ago, and it's so good to see you all again, and welcome Olan for the first time. So you guys this movie is just out. You're playing it in film festivals right now, and it's already winning awards, and it's no surprise to me because it's amazing. I got to see a screener of it, and you've at the Hollywood Real Independent Festival, Best Film Comedy Award at one, and Best Supporting Actress for Olan Jones. So congratulations.
Yay,
there.
Thank Yay. You. I want to thank you all.
That's really cool. So this film, I want to hear, because this is very, people who are typically listen to this podcast, you know, they're Dark Shadows fans, of course, and fans of, you know, spooky stuff, classic horror, fantasy, sci-fi stuff. But this is a very different animal from some of what, you know, I've seen you do before, Ansel and Nathan, you know, Todd Tarantula, for example, which is, speaking of awards, is up for a Rondo Award for Best Independent Film. So congrats there. And folks, be sure to vote in the Rondo Awards. Make sure you cast your ballot there for Todd Tarantula. And by the way, Tara Collinwood is also nominated. Hint, hint. this is a different kind of film here, guys. So can you tell me a little bit about you know, what inspired you to do this film? I was telling Ansel, it had kind of a Big Lebowski kind of a feel to it. I was getting from it, but had a lot of meaning to it, a lot of heart in this film. So can you talk a little bit about it, guys?
Yeah. So this character I've had for many years, probably about 13, 14 years, and I started it at my cousin's theater in Long Beach. And then through improv and stuff like that, I built the character up and kind of did a short trailer film a long time ago. And then after that, he's just always been in my head. And I've always talked to Ansel. One of the first films that we worked on, I like showed Ansel this trailer and was telling him about this washed up porn star character that I had, but I never really knew what to do with it. We
talked about maybe doing it as a short film, like he's trying to find his star on the Walk of Fame.
Or this little TikTok videos or a web series.
And we kept sort of writing out ideas and just discussing it for years and years and years. And then after Loon Lake, we're like, let's write this.
Yeah. It was during COVID when we were like, well, we got the time. We were writing a couple other scripts. And we're like, let's just finally like bang out the Nick Dick script. And Ansel came up with a great title, The Great Nick D. And so we wrote the script in like 2020. We sent it to a couple screenwriting festivals that we got nominated or got
shortlisted.
Last year around this time or around February, because we were always trying to get money for it, but we could never get money for it. And we were like, let's just do it. Like, no one's going to make it except us. So let's just get our money together. Let's try to figure out how we can make this film and let's just do it. Yeah. And then with our cinematographer, Robert Murphy, he was able to get a really good camera and some really good lenses for the right price for us as well. So like, I think like 5 years ago, we probably couldn't do that, but now
the resources are now available for independent filmmakers to really like
step up their game. Yeah. And make like a really good product for the right price.
And also at no point when Nate was talking about making a movie about this porn star did we ever think we'd get this amazing cast.
It's incredible. You've talked about the cinematography. I mean, you shot most of it in Venice Beach, right? So it's a really beautiful scenery on the beach and just so gorgeous, you know, just some of those are shot even with the pool, with the swimming pool where the light is hitting the pool a certain way. And it's just gorgeous, very, you know, atmospheric too, really cool. This character you play, a Nick D snazzy dresser. I was looking for my, I used to wear a lot of animal print back in my rock and roll days, but I couldn't find my animal print tank top. I would have worn it. I was like, wow, purple pants and zebra and leopard. Oh, it's what interesting combination there.
So when I did like a little trailer or short film a little while ago, me and my cousin went out. That I've had that costume in my closet or in my car for the past like 10 years.
Seriously?
Just waiting for the day to like do this. We found it at like a thrift shop and it just brought out the character even more. So to be able to sit there and like have that on and brings out more of his personality, I guess. So
this was a character you conceived in an improv. You said, what's that, Catherine?
I said the costume sounds like a character.
The character itself.
And all the wigs, many.
The wigs, yes. Yeah.
So many wigs.
Oh, yeah. But it's you were, I was telling Ansel, you know, you just became that character. It was like you, there was no more Nate. It was Nick D. It was totally amazing. And so this was a character who came up with an improv, you said?
Yep. Through improv. And he just, I've been thinking about him for a long time. So I've been thinking about his past. And like we've done some TikTok videos. Yeah. We've done some other little short things. Nice. So I got play around with him. I've been playing with him for, you know, about eight to 10 years. So he's in there.
Yeah.
He's in here somewhere. Okay. Always wanting to get out, and let him loose.
Unleashed Nick D on the world. Awesome. So let's talk about some of the other characters here. Catherine, can you tell us a little bit about your character, Helen Zimmerman, in the film?
Oh, well, she owns the agency that I guess lands Nick D. Actually, I at the very beginning of my career, I had an agent who was sort of a Ruth Zimmerman. So I'm afraid I based a little bit on her, but very reluctantly takes on Nick D, mainly because of her son who finds him on a beach. And then is appalled that this guy, this washed up porn star, is going to be a client of hers. It's a fun role, but all of the characters in this are just amazing. They're really fun to play.
Definitely, the whole vibe of the film is really fun. The music is fun. There are a lot of lighthearted scenes, but there's a lot of meaning to it as well. And the whole theme of never giving up on your dreams. I think that's a really good message too. The older I get, the more difficult that becomes. You know, so that's nice to kind of reinforce that in such a wonderful way, just a really artistic presentation too in the film. And David, your character here, you play Nick D's father in the play, or rather in the film. Jim Hatton is his name, and you had a great scene there with the piñata. I think Ansel advertises to see the dark shadows actors as you've never seen them before. So what did you think of all that, David?
Oh, listen, I had a good time. I like the relationship between the father and the son, and I wanted to explore that, you know.
Yeah.
Just what it meant to me, to the father.
Yeah.
And, we just, I don't know, went from there. It was just a good time. And the, where I, the party scene where they ganged up on me and smothered me and tackled me and put me on the ground.
It definitely looked like you were having fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, but the whole thing,
yeah,
it was we had a good time, but it was, I don't mean it wasn't work.
Yeah, you
it was work.
Sure. And you and Catherine, you've both worked with Ansel and Nate several times now at this point, and
yes, and that's quite special.
I think during Loon Lake is when we were talking to David about this script and about this character, that we always thought of him playing the dad of this guy. So that's kind of where we started with
Jim.
With Jim.
Yeah.
Yep. We always kind of were hoping that David would be able to
play this
character.
Old trucker guy that's now married to an ex-stripper and has a great healthy relationship.
And a healthy relationship with his son that's gone off and had a great time.
Quite a departure from the roles that we played in Loon Lake. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Sure.
Yes. Yes, totally different.
Loon Lake is definitely what you I think people who listen to this podcast, the Dark Shadows fans, they see Loon Lake, they're like, oh, that's, they expect that. But this is definitely something different here. And it's really fun to see. And I want to get to Lisa Richards as well. But first, I want to talk to Olan about her character of Phyllis. You played Phyllis, who was a really fun character in this, that sort of Nick D's champion here a bit in this film. So was this your first time working with Ansel and Nate?
Yes, this is my first time working with Ansel and Nate, and it was big fun. As I said in my acceptance speech, that it's like a grown-up play date, come and play like you're thrilled to see this guy beyond measure. So it's that's a fun energy to play with. So I, what else could I say about her? She was a former Rhodes Scholar, a senator for a while, and then she took to the agency.
No, you were before we started recording, when Dark Shadows was on, I didn't realize you were doing a play with David at that time when you were a teenager. Or?
No, we were doing this this play, and it was right when Dark Shadows was really loud and bright everywhere, and so I think like girls would drag their dates there, kind of thing. And one time when David and I were near the front of the stage, just like, you know, acting up a storm, and I could see right in the front row, this young couple just making out like crazy. Like, you could not interrupt them with anything that we were doing, for sure.
This was in New York?
This was in New York. It was at the Astor Place.
Astor Place, yeah.
Oh, Len, you remember Lunchtime Theater?
Lunchtime Theater? Yeah, I don't think I in never London. Did. I remember it existing. I was like in the strange off Broadway.
Yeah, we were off Broadway.
But you got lunch. Place. You got lunch.
Way downtown. Oh, God.
Those were the days of Greenwich Village when you could do that.
Yeah. So I think that's also why it's easy for all of us to step into this world of like playing around and just be this now. Okay. You know, I want to say something in general about after I watched the movie that. There's something great about how it moves from goofy as can be to actually real. And often in these, that attempt is so clunky, but in this one, like the directing and the editing, it just took you into the different moods so easily. Like, oh, okay, I'm here and that's fine. I don't know how I got here, but this is good. I'm speaking to an audience member. As an actress, I always knew how I got.
And the music too, I think, really helped with that too. Who did the music for the film?
He's a new composer that we hadn't worked with before. His name is Jeffrey Birch, and he's based in Oklahoma, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he had 3 weeks to do the score, and he
knocked amazing
it
job.
Knocked it out.
Yeah, we found him online, and we gave him. One of the
later scenes where things are falling apart.
Everything's falling apart, and me and Aldo are sitting on the lifeguard tower.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a pretty big scene to take on, and he nailed it and killed it.
His directive was, imagine if the Beach Boys scored a film.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
Wow.
There is a surfy vibe to it. I dig that. Yeah, it was really cool. Olin, have you worked with Catherine before? Have you worked with each other, or was this your first time?
This is the first time. It was great.
Oh.
We met on the set.
Oh. We met on the set, and she was but, so mean.
I know I've met you before, and years and many, many years ago.
Configurations,
Another.
It was such a fun day as well when you guys came. Just the dynamic between you two, they're being very stern, and then Phyllis or Olan, they're just playing around and having like the best time ever. It was great. It was great to be able to play in that.
Yeah,
space.
having been writing this for years and years and talking about it, and now here is Phyllis and here is Helen, and here in the center of it all, and it's like we get to
high
see
dudgeon.
Yeah,
I think I spent the whole film in high dudgeon.
How do you guys write the film? Do you each write a scene and send it to the other, and then the other adds a scene, or how does it work with the two?
Bicker and fight and beat each other up, and then we agree on the scene.
Yeah, we got together a lot, like during COVID. There's a coffee shop in Venice that we'd always meet up at.
Don't say what it is. We don't want people showing up there.
And then and then we met at some parks with the computer. Yeah. So we kind of had the outline or the base of what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then
we would just flesh it out and like discuss what are the various emotional beats that we need here, and then we would
what's
just
gonna
talk.
happen.
A lot of it is me and him acting it out to,
yep.
with each other of like, well, what about, you know, what if he says this and then she says that, and then sort of solidifying on, okay, that's the idea that we need to go with, and then one of us will type it
yep.
up.
So, yeah.
yeah, as
and
we're
then we sent
there.
It off
yeah.
to some people to read, and then we'd get some notes, and then we'd add a couple scenes here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just together talking about the scene in the outline that we need to like have dialogue for, and then we'll
yeah.
just start talking. Mm-hmm. And then what if he says this? What if he says this? And then we'll
and also
kind of get into character a little bit.
With this script, I mean, like Loon Lake, that's a horror film. You know, there's a very particular structure that you have to go with. Todd Trance is the same thing. But with this, because Nick himself and all the characters, they're kind of crazy and spontaneous, we had more like leeway of like, well, what if we just try this as a sequence
yeah.
and just write it? And
yeah, and it's more of like putting what situations can we put Nick
yeah.
in that would be funny and entertaining to watch,
where he's either the outrageous person in the room or he's the straight man with a bunch of more outrageous
yeah,
of a situation
and things are happening
him.
To him
yeah.
or is he doing the situation himself?
So
yeah
that's kind of how that's how
the
it
character
did.
Kind of dictated a lot.
Yep.
I like the scene with the podcaster where you just
that scene was long.
That was a poster.
That had that's probably like a 10-minute scene.
Yeah,
that's
long.
Through editing, we just shuck it.
And the scene, I mean, there were funny scenes like that, but also these really meaningful scenes like the one with you and David, you know, where you're talking to your dad. And it's really, you know, it's really nice. But another really funny character that comes to mind too was Aunt Judy, played by Lisa Richards, another Dark Shadows alum. Oh my goodness, she had me in stitches. That was hysterically funny. She was like demanding that you put suntan or lotion on her back.
Yeah.
Was that your first time doing anything with Lisa?
No, we Lisa had worked with me on an episode of Theater Fantastique a decade ago, and then she was in The Last Case of August C. Harrison as Jerry Lacey's wife.
That's right.
We worked
the
before.
End of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and then with the, Aunt Judy is probably my favorite character in the script. I mean, when we were writing it, I just be on the floor laughing, and then
it's such a fun character to play with of like. Just kind of weird in this weird house again, a weird situation to put these guys in to be like, what if she comes and she
and she's totally like at ease with they're shooting porn in the basement and like, you know, it's like she's got her own thing going on, and again it's we get to see all these great actors doing something so not what everybody's used to, and it was a fun day, long day but a fun day.
But again, like them, everybody come to life with all these great actors that we got to bring into this, like really take that to another level compared to what was on the page.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to have these amazing actors and actresses to come in and to do this for us.
I'm glad you brought this up because I want to address the fact that this was Lara Parker's final role. And I was in tears watching that scene. Wow. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about, casting Lara? And I know you've worked with Lara before, but can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, I knew that she wasn't doing well, and I would always email her and, you know, just say, hey, and hope you're doing well and stuff. And then Catherine said, is Lara involved? And I said, no, because I knew she wasn't well. And she said, well, no, I think you need to get Lara in here. And by all means, you know, we love Lara. She's so damn funny and she's lovely. And so Nate and I talked about, okay, well, if Laura's in here, what can we really say? Like what for the benefit of the story and for the benefit of, hey, we have Lara in this, what can we do?
What's something substantial that she can do, and what's something substantial that
for the story
that
itself,
we can have for the story.
So then we landed on, she was his old acting teacher.
Yeah.
And then, basically the scene I wrote was just this dialogue, and it was more kind of rooted in truth of like, you know, both of us and, you know, me particularly, I grew up watching all of these great people and getting to work with them and whatnot. So it was kind of just a thank you. And so that was the genesis of the scene, and Lara really loved it. because she said, "Oh, I get to speak like a normal person for once. I don't have to say crazy, weird dialogue like you always made me say." And
I have to say that this had to happen. Yeah. So you know it had to happen. Laura and I were in the very first film that you directed with us. Yeah. The very first film with, and Jerry Lacey was with us as well. But I spent the day with Laura, and she was so excited and looking forward to, you know, to working on this film. And it was, and I promised her that the dialogue was real. It wasn't Dr. Mabuse or Omar kind of dialogue. And I think we kind of beat you up for a while to please write a film like this. So I think it meant a lot to Laura, and now of course it means a lot to all of us that she's in it.
Yeah.
Got to be a part of it.
Yeah, and
on the, such a lovely scene, and it's a beautiful scene to end the movie with. Yeah, it worked out perfect.
And something I remember when on the very first Dr. Mabuse, when I was sitting with Catherine and Laura says, "Do you have lights?" With that look in her eye, and I'm like, yeah, I have lights, and I went out and got a bunch of lights that night. And the day that we were shooting with Laura, we now have a crew, we have, you know, sound guy, we have a DP, we had lights, and I'm like, Laura, look, we have lights. She goes, I know.
he's talking around this, but I'm going to tell you what it was like to do that very first film. First of all, we filmed it in Ansel's uncle's garage. I think he had to park the Volvo out on the street. And his mother hung the garage with blue sheets. And it's a tiny little garage. And there's Ansel. He's a one-man band. He's holding up a stick with a microphone on it. He's got a camera the size of, you know, like a peanut. And he's doing the whole thing. And because there was so little room, we were actually walking in circles when we were acting. It was one of the funniest things that I've ever done. Again, another reason why Laura just had to be in this. She just had to see how far you've come, Ansel. It's kind of amazing.
Thank you. No, it was. I mean, I wanted to have you guys all, always, because you guys are family. But we're making a real film now.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we have all these we're in locations. You know, we have real sets on this one.
Yep. Real offices, real locations. Amazing cinematographer.
So
with real lighting compared to the first films that we were working on were pretty janky, but it was great experience. I mean, to do all those with these great actresses. Again, I got to learn so much from Catherine and Laura and Jerry.
Yeah.
Because that was my first ever lead, I guess, was Dr. Mabuse. Mm-hmm. So I've learned so much. I mean, that was 10 years ago.
Longer than that.
Like, I've learned so much over those years, and just being able to do that and act in those.
Was that 10 years ago?
It was 2012 we shot it. 2012 was the first one that we shot.
Wow.
It's been a minute.
Time flies.
I couldn't drink when we did the first movie. I was too young. Like,
I remember the story, and tell me if it's not true, because you got in touch with me to do the film, and I said, "Well, I think I'd like to meet you." Yeah. And I met you at wherever you were doing your casting, and I saw this very attractive middle-aged woman sitting next to you, and you'd been doing all the talking, and I turned to her and I said, "Are you the producer?" And she said, "You might say so. I'm his mother." And I think that in those days, I think you didn't drive. She was also your driver.
Yeah. I was a little boy. I was really scared. I remember that day that you came. I was really scared. I was like, oh my God, Kathleen Lee Scott's coming. I have to talk to her now. I have to do this movie. And so that's another, it's like now it's like, I know how to communicate as a director. I know how to get the job done, and I'm at ease now well, I can't talk right now, but like, I'm at ease with communicating, and you guys don't scare me anymore.
Yeah. Except for James Storm. I think you told me once that Gerard scared you, so
great too, because the first time me and Catherine acted in the garage together, Loman, I guess, yeah. And then the witch, and then now we're going at it in this movie, and she's like sitting on the other side.
that's the agent,
and then I'm on the other side, and she's like yelling at me.
Yeah,
it's so scary.
Using this repertoire cast that I'm so lucky to have, and to bring everybody back time and time again in different incarnations and roles. Yeah, we did a movie again, like back in 2012. It was The Rising Light. It's a sci-fi film. It's a very experimental movie.
We
learned a lot on that one. Yeah. But Catherine and Nate played mother and son, even though they're like aliens. And so we're filming.
I haven't seen that one.
It's quite a movie.
But I remember we're doing a scene on Nick D where like they're yelling at each other. It's a very intense, dramatic scene. And I'm like, yeah, at one point they played mother and son. Now they hate each other. Like, this is so cool.
Had you met Ansel before you did that first film? Had you met David and Catherine at the Dark Shadows festivals, or was that later that you started attending those?
No, I had not met anybody.
Okay.
Not one. I remember there was the screening of the Tim Burton Dark Shadows film and House of Dark Shadows at the Vista Theater, and Jerry Lacey and I had already been in communication about playing Dr. Mabuza.
I see. Okay.
And there was the line of everybody was, you know, getting autographs, and I went up to him and said, "Hi, Mr. Lacey, I'm Ansel." And he looks at me and goes, "Oh, hi, nice to meet you finally." And so yeah, I hadn't met anybody. I hadn't been immersed in Dark Shadows worlds, you know, outside of seeing the movies and the show. But so yeah, it was very surreal, very trippy when all of a sudden, you know, Catherine and Laura and Jerry are at my dining room table, and I made Nate do a British accent at our first table read, and like everything was, you know, it's coming back to what Catherine said. It's very nice to now be at that professional level of filmmaking and to bring everybody back and be like, hey, look, through your help and encouragement, you know, hey, I'm still broke, but I did it, you know, like we're here. So
now you do know what you're doing, and you're terrific to work with. So you've learned a lot in these 12 years, but it's been a lot of fun, I have to say. And I love it that you worked with David. I know you'll agree with me. I mean, how wonderful that, you know, you worked with Johnny Carlin and Chris Pinnock, and you know, I think we've sort of become your repertory company of players, and now Olan, you're going to prove.
Welcome in.
Thank you. Do we get like badges or T-shirts or
something? Second film, you get a T-shirt and a badge.
There you go. David, what did you think of you know, the contrast between the last couple of films that you did with Ansel and Nate and this one? Any thoughts on that?
Well, we had I guess a little more to work with in terms of, you know, crew and I don't know, camera, all the, you know, all the equipment, and it was, but you know, they each one has been very, for me, very special. And I've always thought, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
And that's been the lovely thing, because everyone is always open, you know, for a new idea.
When we were driving to set that day, we haven't even started shooting our scenes yet, and David's already like, all right, well, what are we doing next? What's the next film? And I'm like, how about we go shoot this first before we start rolling? The other day I was thinking about it, because I was like, I love how David's always thinking what's next, because now that's what we're thinking about. I'm like, all right, well, we did this. I can't believe we did this. This is amazing that we actually made this. But it's like, all right, well, what is next?
But it always is amazing when you finish something, even when we were working off Broadway or wherever, downtown, you know. And I can remember working in the back of a bar downtown, Olan, and that was the refrigerator was our prop box. It sounds crazy, but it was wonderful. And when we finished again, somebody said, "Hey, there's this play. You might want to think we'd like to send get see if we can get you a script and get me a script then." I said, "Do you have it with you?" So that was always, it was always a, I don't know, this whole business has been a gift to me
Yeah.
from all of
Can I
you
do
all.
the other that I think is really speaking of gifts, Ansel was just starting out 12 years ago, and now he's already mentoring somebody else, young Josh Price.
Oh.
I have to say, Ansel, I really appreciate that, you're already giving another young filmmaker's screenwriter
Yeah.
boost and mentor him and so on. That's wonderful.
And everything that I say to him is what you and Laura used to yell at me about. I'm like, okay, but the dialogue here, you gotta and it's just, yeah, because I never went to film school. I was self-taught. So everything I learned on the job in the moment. And so yeah, I've learned so much from Catherine, from Laura, from David, from Jerry, from Chris. So I'm just lucky. I'm very lucky. And to pass that help on, because I didn't have any help. Nobody helped me. I had to do this myself until I got to got the opportunity to work with you guys. And then you guys certainly have helped. But that initial like life raft, it's important to cast that out to the
Give back.
to everybody else that's trying. Because it's such a brutal, as everybody here on this Zoom call can attest, this is a brutal, ruthless industry and very unforgiving. So where you can find help and find good people, that's important. So
Great. Where can people see this now? You're doing screenings right now at film festivals, right? And then I assume you're planning for a release, a streaming release, or a home video release of some kind. So.
We're having a home video release, Blu-ray DVD in June.
Yep.
You have it. You get also you'll have special features. You'll get to see,
The
scenes
deleted
that we
scenes,
cut.
yeah. And
But
commentaries and things
yeah.
like that. So,
And you're supporting independent
yes.
film. So.
Great. You're right, though. You don't really see these types of comedy films much anymore. It really is like very focused on the superhero action type films right now. This reminded me, like I said, like Big Lebowski or like Chasing Amy or something, that it had that kind of field. It was a comedy, but it was also really meaningful as well. So I have a very good feeling about this film. I think you guys are going to do fantastic with this. I really, really do. And so this Blu-ray is coming out this summer, and that's going to be available through, is it through Amazon or Hollandsworth Productions website or?
Yeah, I mean,
Wherever you can buy it, Blu-rays or DVDs online,
you
it'll
just
just
search Great Nick
search Great
D.
Nick D and you'll be able to find it.
And are there any screenings coming up?
We are waiting
We're
to hear
waiting to hear
back.
back from a couple other festivals. Hopefully we get into a couple more and
And then we'll see.
then we'll
Yeah.
yeah see
Okay, fantastic, great.
okay how long.
And there's also, I want to also touch on this on this summer. There's the Dark Shadows Remembrance event coming up. And I see that. I hope to see all of you there. I'm hoping to make it out to Burbank. And I got a really nice email from your mom, Ansel. It was a very sweet message I got from your mom. And I really hope I can make it. It was so sweet. I was like, oh my God, Ansel's mom sent me an email. I really look forward to attending that. This is a celebration of life for Laura Parker and Jonathan Frid's centenary the next day. So are you all going to be there?
Yes.
Right.
Be there. And that's the other thing. I'm glad you brought that up too, because both Ansel and Nathan have the most amazing parents. I don't know how, they've been supportive. They're just wonderful. And I think that's a big boon. That's where your luck comes in.
Yeah.
That's
Oh, yeah. That yeah. I always talking about our parents, I always think back when we shot Loon Lake, because my mom, dad, and a lot of the we're in the movie for the beheading scene with David and Catherine leading everybody down before we chopped Kelly's head off or the wood head off. So like, but they had so much fun and everybody there had so much fun, and like just having everybody at their house, and my mom was cooking for that film and kind of feeding everybody. She was craft services. Yeah. She helped out a lot. They were in the movie. Like my dad was helping out when a driving scene, he was like pushing the back of the truck to make us look like we were going down the road.
And I remember my brother and his wife, extras in the film.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was just really fun. I grew up on a farm in Minnesota. It was just so much fun going in the garage and getting into that. They didn't have machinery like that when I was a kid.
Yeah, on a big tractors.
What is that big machine called? The
combine, maybe.
A harvester, combiner.
Yeah, combine. Yep.
Baler.
No, it was a combine. Yep.
Combine.
Corn and the beans.
Yeah.
And I think
family of four. I'm talking about something just amazing.
Wow. Olen, are we going to see you in the next one? I hope in the next film.
Yeah, I'm just going to barge in no matter what.
Awesome. Good.
The parents. I shall wait to be invited.
Yeah.
No, it would be, I mean.
Well, it was, yeah. And to get Olen in this was fantastic. Cause like we were, it's a crazy film how we filmed it. Cause we started in May.
No, and then we started in April.
And then I had to wait a month. Cause then we shot the flashback scenes. Then I had to wait a month to grow out like some facial hair and a mustache. And then, so we were casting and getting the locations as we were filming.
Yeah. So
and it was like, who's going to get Phyllis? So we're trying to cast Phyllis. And then luckily,
yeah, because I'd seen David and Olen do A Delicate Balance at the Odyssey Theater in LA,
and it just screamed wacky ages.
Yeah, depressing Edward Albee, just, you know, oh, that's a great comedy. But it was a great night of theater, and so then I met Olen after the show, and we just kind of stayed in touch on Facebook, and then we leapfrogged this film. So we would shoot like a day or two here, and then we would prep for the next thing, and we were casting all through into September. Yep. It was a very long shoot, and scouting and all this stuff. Yep. So when we knew, okay, the agency sequences are coming up, you know, I knew that Catherine was going to be Helen, and we're like, okay, well, who's going to be her foil? Like who's going to, you know, be Phyllis? And then, oh my God, Olen. You know, I'm going to have Olen in a film, yeah. And you know.
And then he hit me up. He's like, "Oh my God, I got Olen Jones." Yeah. And I was like, "Hit her up, see what she's doing, see if she would do it. Send her the script. Do whatever you can." So,
and fortunate. Just like, you know, with the Dark Shadows cast, you know, having grown up watching Dark Shadows, and that's such a, you know, integral part of my cinematic DNA. You know, one thing I remember when we first talked on Zoom about the movie, I said, you know, Mars Attacks. It's like a perennial favorite in my family. And so she's got a great line when the aliens invade. She goes, well, they ain't getting the TV. And like, we always see that line at home. And so it was cool to
words
like,
to live by. Yeah.
So it was just, I don't know. It just, it works out. Things, life is funny. Yeah. You know, life is.
Yeah, and then the descent, because to like pitch this movie to people, it's like,
it's not about porn,
it's not
but
about
it's a porn.
Porn
star.
It's a washed up porn star living in Venice Beach, but it has nothing to do with porn. We tap on it as lightly as possible, but it's more about the character and about this person. So to like send the script out and be like, well, let's see if she likes it, or see if they like it and want to do it. So,
and Laura, going back to Laura for a minute, when we were doing Dr. Mabuza 1, Nate, I remember he showed Laura the footage of him as Nick Dick riding around on the scooter in Venice Beach. And she was like, oh, you have to do something with this.
Yeah.
So then it was a great, again, full circle of like, hey, Laura, so remember that character that Nate showed you? And
we've been talking about forever.
And
we're doing it. We're actually doing it.
And then she was giving you notes when we were shooting.
Yeah. Too. Well, yeah. The day
was she? Yeah.
That we shot, we were in her room and she was getting ready. Uh-huh. And we were her lines and everything. And she's like, you know, I just think like if you had a little more drive in this movie for the character and something else. And I was like, well, we've already shot like half. a little late to go back now, but we do have that now. We do have that piece. It's in there. There is a driving force with Faye and everything. It's in there, so don't worry about it.
Because again, Laura and Catherine were always like, Ansel, the script. Yeah. So, and Laura being the writer, well, what about this? What's the central conflict? Which was great.
To the end.
It's been a wonderful, wonderful voyage.
Wonderful trip. And now it's on to the next. I look forward to the next film.
That's right.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much again for joining me. This was really fun. It was great hearing about what went into the making of this film, the great Nick D. And absolutely, folks, keep your eyes out for it. If you can attend a screening, please do so. You will definitely not be disappointed. And when the Blu-ray comes out, I will absolutely announce it here. Thank you to all of you for joining me today. Olen Jones, David Selby, Catherine Lee Scott, Nate and Ansel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Terror at Collinwood is a Penny Dreadful production.